Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls in just a little bit. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to read a letter, and I may have a hard time getting through this letter, but hopefully it is as meaningful to you as it is to me. It's written by Eric and Chris and their daughter, Elise. And it says, Hank, I'm deeply troubled by the backlash you and the Christian Research Institute are experiencing right now. Please know that we continue to stand with you prayerfully and financially and are not at all personally wavering in our knowledge that you are a man of God and a man after God's own heart. We will continue to lift you, Paul, your family, and your ministry up in our daily prayers. We are also praying for your health, as I know from the broadcast that you're dealing with something there too. Please let this be an encouragement to you. I continue to praise God for the blessing you are in my life and walk. I would not be a Christian or the Christian I am today without your insights, modeling, and mentoring. You're beloved by many, and I'm proud to be among those ranks. Press on, dear brother, and may we both rejoice in how God will use even this. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the backstory here. But before I do, the grief unspoken for me is that after 30 years, there were several broadcast networks that did not afford our ministry the courtesy of saying goodbye to thousands and thousands of dear friends. Whatever that might mean financially to the ministry, the Christian Research Institute, is significant, but in the end, it is all about ministry in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the backstory with respect to Eric, Chris, and Elise is pretty cool. I met them approximately 7 years ago, I believe. Eric and Chris had adopted what was known as Snowflake 94. Snowflake 94 had been a frozen embryo for 2 years, but when I met her, she was a bright and beautiful little girl. I believe at the time she was around 4.5 years old. When I held her in my arms, in some real, tangible way, I held the realization or the very real personification of life and truth. And while I cannot at the moment recall all the details, what I remember is that our broadcast was the impetus in part or in whole for Eric and Chris to adopt Snowflake number 94. Why? Because believing the truth that a fertilized human egg is truly a person made in the imago Dei, made in the image and the likeness of God. Well, today, Elise, in real life, is tangible, both physically and metaphysically. When she was frozen, she did not have a fully developed personality, but she did have, as her parents recognized, full personhood from the moment of conception. And she is today a wonderful personality in her own right. I met these dear people as a direct result of the ministry of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and perhaps our program was used in a way to bring Elise to where she is now, 11 years of age. And I can tell you, I still carry her picture all these years later. It's a reminder to me that life and truth really do matter. No matter what you hear, listen to what I am saying myself. I will never compromise the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I recognize wonderful Christians in all kinds of different places. I've seen them in the house churches in China, the progeny of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. I've seen them in the Orthodox faith. I've seen them in evangelical churches. And today, as our whole staff gathered around, at least a good number of our staff, I was looking at each one of the faces and recognizing that they all represented a different branch of the Christian tree. It was a beautiful thing to behold because many of the people that work with me, and I would think maybe even a majority, have been with me 10, 20, and some far longer than that. And together we're making a difference for time and for eternity, and deeply grateful for those who are standing with us, prayerfully and financially, in the battle for life and truth. Well, a lot of you hanging on. First up, Richard, listening in Washington on KCIS. Hi, Richard.
Thank you. That was a beautiful letter and story there. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I have a scripture question for you, Mr. Hanegraaff. It's regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10, where it says, "For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." And it's that last part, because of the angels. I have no clue what the Apostle Paul was talking about there. I was wondering if you can help me on that aspect of that verse.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic example of why we should always interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. Angels are spectators of the church. Now, we don't have to go far. We can look in Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, in fact, the first letter, and find that that is so. We can also find that that is so in other places, like 1 Timothy chapter 5. And as such, what they witness as holy representatives of God really does make a difference. And all the more then, how we would express our respect within the context of the church, within the context of the body of Christ, and our worship of the Lord really does matter. And I will cash that out a little bit. But let me also say that what's really important for me in this question is I have learned something over the last 10 years or so, and that is not to go into church expecting a concert or expecting some kind of an experience or even a great sermon, as wonderful as all of that is. No knock on it. But I and my family now walk into church with a completely different attitude. And that attitude is, we are there to worship God. We are there to experience the real presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for us, that makes all the difference of the world, in the world. And this is not unique to my particular fellowship of believers. I experienced this many, many years ago as the progeny of Watchman Nee. We're expressing that very same sense of worship, and where I saw life exhibited in such powerful form that I wondered, do I have a lot of truth and little life? And is that a problem? And the answer, of course, has been a resounding yes. But to finish up this particular phrase, concerning the angels as spectators, remember Paul says within the same letter, as I just mentioned, that we apostles have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. And then he says something very telling. He says to angels as well as to men, which means that the angels are looking on. And again, what we do really does matter. What do angels do? They worship God. And we're called to follow in their train. I hope that helps, Richard.
Yes, thank you so much. And I just pray blessings over your life. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Richard. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sydney, listening in Peoria, Arizona. Hi, Sydney.
Good afternoon, Mr. Panagra.
Hi.
Hey, thank you so much. I'd just like to say thank you for your broadcast, because by listening to you and really picking up my Bible and starting to read, I've noticed that I have turned off a lot of these ministers that I used to listen to, because I'm starting to see that it doesn't line up with the scriptures that I'm reading. So, and I was made aware of that by listening to your program. I would like to further ask you a question. I wanted to know, I live here in Arizona, Peoria, and there's a David F. Milliken of the of Jesus is Lord Church, and I wanted to know if he, Dr. Yusuf, Dr. Jeremiah, and Dr. Charles Stanley, are their doctrines in line with the scriptures?
Well, look, all of us have our own liabilities when it comes to secondary issues, and that's why I say in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. What I can say about the men that you mentioned, although I don't know much about David Middleton, I do know quite a bit about the others, is that they are not only very gifted in terms of teaching, but they're also men of outstanding character. And so are they good teachers? No question whatsoever. They have been gifted in that area. And like they would disagree with me on secondary issues, I would disagree with them on some secondary issues. But I'm quite certain that we stand shoulder to shoulder when it comes to what C.S. Lewis termed mere Christianity.
Okay, thank you very much. And just one other thing, you were just talking about angels.
Yes.
I wanted to know that are angels at our call? In other words, do they work on our behalf if we are in line with the scriptures? I mean, you know, I've always heard things about you have a guardian angel. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I think what we can say about angels, and I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, is what Hebrews says. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Wow. So are there angels among us? Absolutely. My pastor told me the other day in the fellowship hall when we were enjoying a meal, he told me, Hank, and he was pointing to a person who had been badly burned. And he said that person was an angel in our midst. Now, whether he meant that metaphorically or not, I'm quite sure he did. But we should know that this is true, not just metaphorically, but also that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve us because we will inherit salvation. I'll be right back with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
A trend in many parts of the contemporary American Christian church is the propagation of cliches that are neither Christian nor true. One of these is the idea that no sin is any worse than any other sin. That is, from God's perspective, all sins are equally bad. Since God is morally perfect, any form of sin is said to be just as bad as any other form of sin. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Michael W. Austin offers a strong biblical case for why, in God's sight, all sins are not the same. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a reminder that there are so many ways to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and they will be expanded even further in the future. But you can listen to the broadcast live on equip.org. You can listen to the broadcast on Sirius XM 131. That is satellite radio. So if you don't have satellite radio, that's how I listen to the radio. You can also listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast by downloading CRI's Equip app. We'll keep you informed as we continue to progress into the future. I have some exciting plans in store for our ministry, not only here, but abroad as well. So again, thank you for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Alan, Houston, Texas, and he's listening on the web. Hi, Alan.
Alan, how's it going, Hank? Christ is risen.
Thank you. He is risen indeed.
Thank you for your ministry and in echoing everybody else that's called you over the last couple of days saying this. You know, your character has just shown so brightly through the trials that you've gone through, and you have my prayers also on that. Your ministry is really to God's glory. And by the way, and this isn't orchestrated either, but I will be calling that other number after my call, and I'm going to join and support on a monthly basis your ministry. I just think it's that important. So,
thank you. Bless you.
Well, it's good. It's a very, very good effort, and I encourage everyone to do that. My question is, I've been doing a lot of searching, Hank, myself. I'm not as far along the journey maybe as you are in studying church history and different theologies over the church's history. But, you know, I learned when I grew up, I learned that, you know, salvation is a light switch. You know, you flip it and it's done. And the light stays on regardless of what you do. But in 1 Corinthians 1:18, I mean, God just really zoomed this in on me today. I was looking through the New Testament and this just really jumped out. You know, the Apostle Paul uses the Greek word, I guess, is sozomenois. I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but it's translated as being saved. And he does it again in 2 Corinthians 2:15. And, you know, I'm sure you've got all of that memorized. But, you know, since he's using this present passive participle, it's a process kind of thing. And just wondering if you could help to explain that, because apparently he does it in other places. And studying that, I'm kind of, you know, trying to figure out exactly what he's talking about. So thank you, and God bless your ministry, and I guess I'll hang on.
Thank you, Alan. And, you know, what you've said actually in the prologue to the question is the answer to the question. I think everything you said is absolutely correct. Well, you know, there's a sense in which we are saved and we are being saved. We have to participate not in an inactive way, but an active way, as a follower of Jesus Christ. So we are participants in the kingdom. We're co-consummators of the kingdom. And I, like you, love 1 Corinthians chapter 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And this is the present tense. It does refer to the process by which the cross transforms us with the power of God. And I also very much appreciate what Paul says in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, where he's talking about preaching Christ, that he is perfecting everyone in Christ. And then he says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energies which so powerfully work in me. So it's not as though this is some kind of a transactional deal that we make. We pray a prayer. There's some magic formula associated with it, maybe even some magic woofle dust. And now, all of a sudden, we don't have to do anything. We can be a baptized secular humanist. No, we are now participants. We take up the cross. We daily follow Jesus Christ. And within the context of the body of Christ, grace is dispensed to the life of the believer. So again, we don't live by might or by power, but by His Spirit. And I have said on other broadcasts, much of my life, I looked at Christianity as a transactional issue. The problem here is that in that sense, there was truth, and I defended truth, defined truth, debated truth, but I didn't really experience Christ. Maybe in some rudimentary fashion I did, but our quest is to find our all in fellowship in the Trinity, which we are created for. And that comes along with loving and serving and following Christ, and again, partaking of the means of grace that He gives us to partake of. So, absolutely fantastic observation. I wouldn't have had to say anything, Ellen. What you said was right on. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Andrew, Kansas City, Kansas, listening on the web. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How you doing? You're a long-time Orthodox fan in Kansas City.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you called.
Glad to follow you on your journey there.
Thank you.
The question I have is, as far as the theory of the rapture, I know it's not biblically supported, but in discussing it with some family and friends, what would you say would probably be the top three biblical takeaways as far as disputing the rapture?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I would say is it all starts with a presupposition. And that presupposition is that God has two distinct people, which means that He has two distinct plans, and He has two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming followed by a second coming. And many who believe in a pre-tribulational rapture also believe that there's going to be a millennial temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices, and those sacrifices are going to atone for sin. So let's go back to the beginning. God has two distinct people. Well, the premise is simply false. God has only always had one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross and illustrated by the Apostle Paul as a cultivated olive tree. So as opposed to having two people, He has one people, and that people from every nation and language and tribe is beautifully, beautifully illustrated in the Old Testament. When you look at people like Rahab and Ruth, when you look at Esther being raised up to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman, and then you see that on that day many different people from many different nations become Jews. They do that because they believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they're brought into all the types and shadows, ultimately pointing forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself in the book of Revelation talks about the fact that there are those who say they are Jews but are not. They're a synagogue of Satan. Peter in the New Testament, he doesn't want to go see a Gentile because he says they're unclean. Well, God really has a strong reprimand for Peter. He shows him a vision three times, and at the end, Peter ends up going to Cornelius and saying, you know, after I saw that vision three times, I realized that God does not show favoritism. Paul, of course, is equally emphatic when he says, in Christ there's no Jew or Greek, there's no male or female, there's no slave or free. If you are in Christ, you're the seed of Abraham, and then you too are an heir according to the promise. So there's only one royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham. You are an heir according to the promise. So again, I think that the whole idea, which is a very modern idea, by the way, the early church knew nothing about this whatsoever. It's a modern idea, but it's built on a faulty premise.
Well, didn't even the Reformation leaders, you're talking Luther, Calvin, they didn't even espouse that idea either.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is a 19th century idea that is very popular in churches today. Better watch it or I'm going to get in trouble again here by saying this. But, I mean, it's popular in churches today. But the question is always not what I say, but, you know, what I just said. Check it out in Scripture and then see if what I have said conforms to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. I've written a book about this. I think it's an important issue. I wouldn't divide with people that disagree with me on this issue, but I certainly would discuss it with them with meekness and humility. But the book is called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. And there's a whole section on how this idea got started and how it was spread and the ramifications of it in the modern world.
Okay, well, excellent. So basically, since there's only one class of people under Christ, why would he split up the classes with a rapture and then come again?
Exactly. You know, and what does Scripture say? I mean, if you look at the words of Jesus Christ and you take them in the literal sense in which they're intended. We never want to take the text in a wooden literalistic sense, but always in the sense in which it's intended. In this case, the words don't take a whole lot of explaining. Jesus says, do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be condemned. He doesn't say that some will rise to live, and then 1,007 years later, others will rise to live and others will rise to be. No, he says, do not be amazed at this time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Let me just say one personal thing about this. I loved my dad. He was a Reformed theologian, one of the best minds on the planet, in my estimation, although he was not famous in any sense. He was definitely very diligent in his life and ministry. I never, ever saw him touch the hand of another woman. My mother and my dad had just an unspeakable love relationship. I watched it from afar. They were madly in love with one another. My mother, now 91, every time I call her, she says the same thing. I have such a big hole in my heart. And sometimes when she sees what I've written or what I've done, she says, oh, I wish Dad were here to see that. Now, point I want to make about my dad is that my dad died in 1997, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, if the pre-tribulation, pre-millennial idea is correct, then my dad would come back in a glorified body to a semi-golden age. And he would experience the greatest of all apostasies, which is Gog and Magog to gather them for battle. So at the end of time, you have this incredible apostasy that happens. And my point is, I don't think my dad ever thought that. He thought, you know, when the Lord appears a second time, I'm going to be restored to my body. And I'm quite sure he's aware of that right now. And then he will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and forever explore the glory and grandeur of the one who saved him by his grace. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
C.S. Lewis once said, good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason, because bad philosophy needs to be answered. These words are more relevant than ever in our post-truth culture. The article, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, by Donald T. Williams, shows why throwing down our weapons is betrayal, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Paul and Ethel Gould share three ways they have taught their kids apologetics effectively without them even knowing it. Don't miss three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as you have just mentioned, it is absolutely critical that people stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth now more than ever. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Anything you can give to the ministry will be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. I'm incidentally very excited about all the doors God is opening for this ministry, and to God be the glory. He has been faithful with this ministry for 60-odd years and continues to demonstrate His faithfulness, sometimes in the midst of our lack of faith. So oftentimes I say, Lord, I truly believe, help Thou my unbelief. Well, the quote of the day comes from Dr. Matthew Roth, and I think this is something that we ought to listen to very carefully in light of the monologue I did concerning Elise. I'm looking at her picture as we speak. Matthew Roth was a principal research associate at Harvard Medical School's Department of Medicine, and here's what she said. It is scientifically correct to say that an individual human life begins at conception when egg and sperm join to form the zygote. And this developing human always is a member of our species in all stages of its life. While an embryo does not have, as I mentioned earlier, a fully developed personality, it certainly does have full personhood from the moment of conception. So we often say you didn't come from an adolescent, you once were an adolescent. You didn't come from an embryo, you once were an embryo. In an age where we have, by and large, as the church, lost the culture wars, we must continue to bring a savor back to the salt, and that is, no matter what, continue to speak the truth. Speak it in love, but continue to speak the truth. Christy next in San Francisco, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Christy.
Hi there.
Hi.
Speaking with you.
It's nice to talk to you.
Actually, very, very interesting. You were just talking about embryos, et cetera. I'm curious, is it unbiblical for people that cannot have children to use science to have children?
Well, I think science is a wonderful thing, Christy, but we have to be very careful on how science is employed in this particular area. God opens and closes the womb, as we are told in Scripture. But even beyond that, if we start to bring our own paradigms to bear, and that uncritically, we can start thinking that designer babies are far more important than maybe a baby that has Down syndrome. So one is to be grasped for, the other is to be disposed of. And that's the danger of the age of technology in which we live. The other thing I would say in this case, Christy, is the introduction of a third party through sperm or egg donation or through surrogate motherhood is inconsistent with something very, very important to biblical Christians. And that is the biblical pattern of continuity between procreation and parenthood. And in this sense, if in vitro fertilization is used at all, the sperm and the egg must come from the husband and the wife who are committed to raising the child. And we have all kinds of examples of the disastrous consequences when we fail to follow that particular model. Certainly the first one that comes to mind is Abram, Sarai, and Hagar, back in Genesis chapter 16. So, we think that we can be gods of our own universe. No, we have to follow the principles and precepts laid down by God. We live in an epoch in time where all those patterns and principles and precepts are being absolutely exploded. So we don't realize anymore that gender-differentiated parenting, for example, is very necessary for the rearing of a child. So no third party, in brief, and only use eggs you are willing to bring to full term.
Thank you. May I ask a quick question, another one?
Sure.
Okay, totally off that target, and yes, thank you so much for that word. I think it validates what I was thinking and hearing from good counsel elsewhere as well. But my question is around the various denominations. I mean, I was raised Baptist, grew up in, you know, going to assemblies, and at a certain point in my life, I just started going for non-denomination. As long as it was Bible-believing, and I really tried to look at the mission and the values of the church, that's kind of what I'm going on. But, you know, we still have so many denominations out there. Like, does it matter? Or do you look at the origins at which they were based? Because there might be a denomination now that seems well and good, but initially, where they first started, they may have had a really kind of wacky belief. So, like, I try to stick with whatever they started with originally. Was it Bible-based, and is it Bible-based now? Because I don't want to... Yeah, I don't want to steer other people wrong either and just try to stick with that. But wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, we don't want to make the genetic fallacy. There are many organizations, bodies, of believers that have been started by people who were very suspect and today have become very, very biblical. I think what we have to look at is what does this church or what does this body of believers adhere to? I was reading the Statement of Faith of the National Religious Broadcasters just the other day, and I was very, very impressed with it because what it did was it outlined not in just a cursory way that was general, but in a very specific way what it is we believe as Christians and what we ought to adhere to. And the last point they made in the Statement of Faith, often neglected but I think very important, is the subject that we're talking about right now, and that is the subject of abortion. We can't fall for the cultural milieu that tells us one thing. We always have to be biblically based and answer our questions in that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anthony next, listening in Fresno, California. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Hank. Been listening to you for years, and congratulations on the Eastern Orthodox church that you've joined, and I'm happy for you. And I just wanted to get your opinion on the Roman Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox, and how it spoke to you as to your choice of converting.
Yeah, well, look, if, sometimes they're called two lungs of the same body. I mean, if you go back to the early Christian church, there was no such thing as a divided church. And as I've said frequently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I've been talking about this for 30 years, by the way, they were divided when there was a great schism in 1054. And that schism had very important components to it. Now, in many ways, there are Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics that are trying to come back to the early church practices, and I think that's probably what I would simply single out from a personal standpoint. For me, what is important is that I do not set myself up as my own little pope, which is to say that in the 21st century, I decide that what the church taught for 15 or 1600 years was wrong. And in this case, what I'm talking about is the Lord's table or communion or mass or the Eucharist, as it is called. For 1600 years of church history, there was unanimous consent with respect to the real presence of Christ. And this is what I have come to embrace. I believe in the real presence of Christ. Now, it is called a great mystery. Indeed, it is called the Mysterium Tremendum et Fascinans. It is a mystery that causes us to tremble, and yet it is a mystery that attracts us. Metropolitan Callistus Ware said something about this. He said, "The chief place in Christian worship belongs to the sacraments, or as they are called in Greek, the mysteries. It is called mystery," writes St. John Chrysostom of the Eucharist, "because what we believe is not the same as what we see. But what we see, one thing, and we believe the other." So at baptism, we undergo an outward washing in water, and at the same time, we're cleansed inwardly from sin. And when we partake of the Eucharist, what appears from the visible point of view to be bread and wine is in reality the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, again, the early church never tried to explain this. They didn't use Aristotelian logic or terminology. They just said it is a great mystery. And the mystery is that when you partake of the Eucharist, you are partaking of the graces of God. And then, as the early church said, and as Luther affirmed, word became flesh so that flesh might become word. What that means is that we do not become what God is in his essence. God is ineffable. We could never become what God is in his essence. He's unknowable in his essence, but he is most certainly knowable in his graces. And so I appreciate the fact that that the church has believed this, that Luther believed this, and I personally hold to this as well. Now, having said that, do I believe that Christians who do not believe this are not Christians at all? Of course not. Again, this is not something new. There are people, I guess I don't read a whole lot about myself, but there are people saying that this is new to me. No, it is not new to me. Some things are new to me, and I'm a continual learner, but I will tell you one thing. I've been writing about this, the idea of theosis, or what Peter talked about, becoming partakers of the divine nature. I've been reading about this way back in the early 80s. In fact, I wrote about it in my book, Christianity in Crisis. Again, this is nothing new. I have been talking about this for many, many years. It is something that I am now involved in because I dearly love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I go to church, I go to worship him and partake of his graces so that I can be someone that is ministering in this studio and elsewhere. A minister not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. Bottom line though, agree or disagree, I will tell you one thing. I have never loved the Lord Jesus Christ more than I do today. I have never been more immersed in Scripture. I've never loved my wife more. I've never loved my family more. And you, my extended family, more. Out of time for today. See you next time with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Topics include C.S. Lewis and the Abolition of Man, the ethics of modern board and card games, three ways to teach your kids apologetics, and much more. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org.